Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Ayin Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will commence from the beginning of the 8th Perek of Menachos, which is found at the Mishnah that you will see at the bottom of Daf Ayin Vov Amid Beis. The Perek, HaTodah Hoysa Bo, as its name suggests, opens up with the Korban Todah. So, a word about the Korban Todah. It, in addition to an animal that is brought and slaughtered, 40 loaves of baked loaves come along with it. As far as the 40 loaves are concerned, they come in the quantity of 20 isaron. 20 isaron, or 2 aphos, as the Mishnah says. 10 isaron are chometz, and 10 isaron are matzah. Matzah, namely non-chometz, non-fermented. As far as numbers of loaves are concerned, though, the 10 isaron of matzah loaves number 30. There are 3 kinds of baked goods that constitute the matzah loaves. The other half of the quantity, the other 10 isaron, come in the form of 10 chometz loaves. So as you can see, the individual chometz loaf is 3 times the size of an individual matzah loaf. Let us now turn to the Mishnah at the bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Beis. HaToida hoisabo chomesh so'in Yerushalmiyos shein sheish midborios. The toda was brought from 5 se'ah. Se'ah is the name of a dry measure. From 5 se'ah of grains, 5 Yerushalmi se'ah, that originally were 6 midbori se'ah. The se'ah quantity was changed in the course of time, where an original 6 were now made into 5, so that a new Yerushalmi se'ah was 1 1/5 the size of the smaller original midbori saw. So our Mishnah is telling us that you would bring 5 Yerushalmi, or 6 midbori saw, of grains. This is shtei ephois, and in brackets we have ho epho equals sholosh sa'in. 1 epho is 3 saw. The 2 aphos are esrim isaron, so that it comes out that 1 apho is 10 isaron. Asora lechometz v'asora lematzah. 10 isaron were used for making chometz loaves, and 10 isaron were used for making matzah loaves. Matzah being not the flat cracker-like baked good that one eats on Pesach, but rather it's a baked good that's simply not allowed to ferment. It's prepared under the same circumstances, if you will, as you prepare a Pesach matzah. However, it's not necessarily the same in terms of looks and consistency. The Mishnah goes on explaining more details about the loaves. Asora lechometz, the 10 isoron that were used to make the chometz loaves, isoron lechala. It came out that one loaf equaled one isaron. Once again, 10 isaron were made for making 10 loaves, so one isaron would be for one loaf. The asara lematzah, 10 isaron for matzah loaves. Uva matzah shalosh minin, within the matzah category, there were three types of loaves, and their names, chalos, rikikin, uravucha. Nimtzu, the result of this, is shloisha esroinim ushlish lechol min umin, 3 1/3 isaron for each type of matzah loaf, or you can say 10/3, because 10/3 is 3 1/3. So for each min of matzah, and we have, as we pointed out earlier, each one of these matzah loaves, the chalos, rikikin, or revucha, there were 10 of each of them. So there were 10/3 of isaron for preparing each type of matzah loaf. V'sholosh chalos le'isaron. So according to the statistics, if 10/3 were used for preparing 10 loaves, so 3/3, or one whole isaron, would be used for preparing 3 loaves. Uvamida Yerushalmis hoyu shloishim kav. Using the Yerushalmi standard, we had 5 saw of Yerushalmi. There, the subdivision was, instead of isaron, were kavim. So there were using the Yerushalmi standard, there were 30 kav used. Kav is the name of a dry measure for preparing the todah. Chamisha asar lechametz, 15 kav for the chametz loaves. V'chamisha asar lamatzah, and 15 kav for the matzah loaves. Chamisha asar lechametz, 15 kav for the chometz loaves, and there were 10 of them, so it's kav umechsa lechala, 1 1/2 kav per loaf. Chamisha asar lematzah, 15 kav were used for preparing the matzah loaves, v'matzah sholosh minim chalos urikikin urfucha, and as we saw earlier, by the matzah there were 3 kinds of loaves, the chalos, rikikin, and revucha by name. Nimtzu chameshes kavin lechol min umin. Since we're starting with 15 for the matzah, and there were 3 kinds, so it's 5 kav per variety. That's 5 kav for 10 loaves. Ushte chalos lekav. And it would come out that each one, since you have 5 kavs, and that's for 10 loaves, 2 loaves would be produced from a kav. Hatoido hoisa bo chomeshla in Yerushalmios. Our Mishnah said that the todah comes as 5 saw of grains, 5 Yerushalmi saw. The Mishnah mentioned that an ephah is 3 saw. So regarding this, the Gemara asks, Mino hanimili, from where do we know that an ephah is 3 sa'ah? This, in fact, is the topic heading that we've assigned to this piece of Gemara. In the outside margin, we offer topic headings and structural notes that we call mivneh, explaining the geometric forms as they appear. In this case, our topic heading is Minayin de ephah gimel sa'ah. From where do we know that point of information, that one ephah is 3 sa'ah? As we scan ahead on the Gemara, we will notice a house form, and under our Mivneh heading, we've noted Shlavim. These are stages, La'anos, La'sheilah hanal, to answer this above-mentioned question, namely, from where do we know that an ephah is 3 sa'ah? So, the Gemara answers, Amar Chizda, Yomar Kro, Ho'ephah v'habas, Toichen echod yeh. Ma bas sholosh so'in, just like a bas, which is the name of a measure, is 3 saw, af ephah sholosh so'in. So to an ephah is 3 saw. Ubas gufa min olon. The bas itself, from where do we know that it is 3 saw? the Pusuk had equated the Eifa with the Bas, saying that the Eifa and the Bas are the same measure. But in order to establish that the Eifa is three saw, we have to first establish that the Bas is three saw. So from where do we know that? Ilemo midichtiv loseis masar hachomer habas. The idea of this pasuk is that the bas would be one tenth. Maasar is a tenth of the chomer. Chomer, the name of another measure. So if you are going to discover that a bas contains three saw by virtue of the fact that it's one tenth of a chomer, the assumption being that a chomer is 30 saw, a tenth of that being three saw. Well, Eifa Nami Hoksiv, why do you have to learn Eifa from Bas when in the case of Eifa you have a pasuk that says Asiris HaChomer Ho Eifa, a tenth of the Chomer is an Eifa. So why would it be suggested to learn from the pasuk Lo Seis Ma'asar HaChomer HaBas to get through the Bas to the Eifa when you have a pasuk explicitly describing the Eifa? The problem here is El Chomer Lo Yodano Kamo. With regard to this pasuk of Asirus Chomer Eifa, I don't know how much a Chomer is. Hochanami, well, with the first pasuk as well, Lo Yodano Kamo, I don't know how much a Chomer is. Elo Mehocha. So maybe from the following pasuk, V'choik Hashemen. The quantity of a tenth of the miser of the shemen, habas hashemen, the quantity of the miser is a tithe of a tenth, is the bas. So the bas is the miser. Miser habas min hakur. We're describing the miser taken from a kur. And a kur is a well-known quantity. This was a quantity that was known in Bovel as well. And a kur has 30 sa'a. Aseres habatim chomer. Well, and we see that 10 bas is a chomer. It would come out then that one bas is 3 sa'a. Ki aseres habatim chomer. That's the end of the pasuk. And we mentioned earlier that the Eifa is the same as a Bas. So, Memela, the Eifa, is also three Sa'a. So, just to repeat this last point, the Pasuk, the Chok HaShemen, mentions in it that a tenth of a Kur is a Bas. Being that the Kur is a well-known measure of 30 saw, a tenth of it is a bas, and the pasuk above mentioned that an eifa and the bas is the same, therefore an eifa is 3 saw. At this point, we have a new discussion. We indicate this with a slash mark that you can see in our Gemara. On the outside margin under our topic heading, we have written under the Nosei, Dinoi Shel Shmuel. We're going to be focusing on Shmuel's halacha, the Ein Mosifin Al Hamidos Yoser Mishtus, etc. That when quantities are increased, the increase is to be no more than a sixth of the original. Omar Shmuel. Turning to the Gemara, Shmuel actually mentions 3 points. We have them divided as 1 with 2 subcategories and point 2. Shmuel says, Omar Shmuel, Ein Mosifin al Hamidos Yoser Mishtus velo al Hamatbea Yoser Mishtus. When one increases the size of a measure using, we'll say, the same name, but simply adding to the quantity of the measure, like we saw before, we had an original saw and then the new saw. Same thing with regard to coins. There was an original coin, whatever coin you're talking about. The Gemara refers to in other places a coin by the name of a dinar or a sela, and it contained a certain amount of metal content. If you increase the size of the coin and use the same name for the new increased size coin, so you do not increase it more than a sixth. Amistakir, one who profits, lo yistakir yosir mishtus. His profit margin should not be more than a sixth. My taimo. At this point, the Gemara introduces a series of attempts to understand why Shmuel says that you don't increase a measure by more than a sixth. We use triangles here to indicate the different stages of the attempts of the Gemara to answer this question. So, I lemo mishum afkui taro, if the fear is that there will be price increases, like uncontrolled price increases, that since I made the measure larger, so I'm naturally going to ask for more money for the product, whatever's being sold. Well, ihachi, if your concern or fear has to do with uncontrolled price raises, then shtus nami lo, then you shouldn't be allowed to increase it even by one-sixth. The logic or psychology being that once people start raising prices, they will raise them in an uncontrolled fashion, way above and beyond what is represented by the actual increase. Elo, so a second attempt is, mishum oino. We say that you can increase the size of a measure. Ki hechi delo leve bitol mekach. Ono is a mischarging in a business transaction. And the halacha of ono says that when the ono rate was overcharged, the ono rate is considered one-sixth overcharge. So if A sold something to B, and A charged a sixth more than its market rate, so A will have to refund the difference to B. A, who took more money from B than he should have, A will have to refund the difference, but the deal is maintained. However, if A charged more than a sixth over the going market rate, then the whole deal is undone, and the A who sold and charged too much gets his product back and refunds all of the money to the buyer B. So the suggestion here is that because of an ono consideration, that would be where someone is buying, let us say, some raw material, and he pays for it thinking that the quantity is the old rate. Then he turns around and sells it and pours whatever product it is, pours it into the new vessel as a seller, not realizing that he is actually pouring into the new larger vessel, thinking that it's the smaller vessel, so that this merchant will now be, when charging the old rate for a much larger quantity that he is giving out. So in effect, this merchant is not profiting what he originally would have profited, because he is pouring out more of his original, more of the merchandise than he originally intended to. So if he is ripped off, so to speak, because he's not getting paid what he the original profit margin, but rather the original profit margin is being eaten up by the fact that he is giving out, selling off more merchandise than he originally would have, by him paying or by him selling a sixth more. So true, he got ripped off, but the consideration here is to preserve the deal so that we don't undo the entire deal. That would be called mishum oino, because if this merchant sold more than a sixth and charged the original rate, which enabled him to profit a sixth, that would be bitul mekach. The whole deal would be undone. So maybe that's the consideration. Let us take a look in the Rashi Ksav Yad on the lower part of the page, in the middle of the wide lines, Elo Mishum Oino. Rashi, and we read it together, Delo Have Bitul Mekach, She Mechodosh Ad Shelo Yodu HaChamorim. The Chamorim are the merchants that buy grains from the producer and sell it to the public, where at the beginning, the merchants don't know Shenisvasfu Hamida, that the measures have been increased. Moichrin bedomim horishonim. They will sell their grains at the original prices. And in effect, they're pouring their grains into larger vessels that the customers produce, and charging the original prices. Ukshiyodu shinis ane. And when they discover that they sold more and charge the original lower rate, im yosifu yoser al shtus, if the new vessels are increased in size more than a sixth, nintsa shnis ana yoser mishtus, it will come out then that the merchants, the chamorim, who were selling their materials, their grains, were overcharged, were ripped off, were underpaid, we'll say underpaid, more than a sixth. Ubitol mekach. If the new vessels that the customers bring in when they meet the chamorim merchants are increased by a sixth and not more, yehei hamekach kayim, the deal will stand. And the customer that got a sixth more than he let's say should have according to the price that he paid, he'll pay for that extra sixth. And in Bava Metzia, this is the standard that's stated, that one-sixth is ono, and the deal stands with remuneration made, and or compensation, and more than a sixth, the deal is called off. So maybe this is the consideration, that as we describe the ono'a consideration, making sure the deal stands, and the chamorim who sold off a sixth more than they intended to, getting the original lower price, they will receive compensation, but the deal stands. The Gemara says, well, if that's the pshat, there's an inaccuracy here because of another halacha. The ho'omar rova. There's a teaching of Rava, or some Girsos have Rava, Kol Dovar Shebemida V'Shemishgal V'Shebeminyan. When deals are made based on quantity, a size, Mishkal, a weight, a minyan as an amount. Afilu Pachos Michtei Oino Choser. If there is a discrepancy of even less than an Shir Ona, less than a sixth, the deal is called off. Choser means it's reversed. So that if the consideration was simply an onoa bitul mekach consideration based on size of vessel, and that we're focusing on the size of vessel being increased a sixth, even if we're increased a seventh or even a tenth, since the deal is made based on quantity in vessel, the whole deal is called off. And it wouldn't make a difference if you're a sixth or more than a sixth. Preserving it as a case of mir ono or calling it off because of bitul mekach. Because when you're dealing with deals that are based on quantities or numbers, then the whole deal is called, even if the discrepancy is much less. Elo, mishum tagra. The issue here of don't increase the size of the vessel by more than a sixth is because of the profit margin. We're focusing not on the issue of deals made based on sizes of vessels, but we're interested in preserving proper commerce. Tagra is a merchant. The explanation that's appropriate for this is very similar to what we explained before. The only difference is that instead of focusing on the size of the vessel, we're going to focus here on profit margins. Kihechi delolinte pseida. Our concern is that the merchant should not experience a loss. Let's explain this. The merchants that we're talking about would buy raw materials from producers and intend to sell them at the accepted profit margin rate. As Shmuel said before, people are entitled to profit by a sixth. So if they bought their raw materials at a certain rate, a certain price, they're entitled to charge a sixth more when they sell it to the public. Now, if the public comes with new vessels that are larger by a sixth in size, and the merchants are unaware, the merchants will be selling a sixth more, charging the old price. The old price had in it for them that which was a profit margin of 1/6, but now their profit is being eaten up by the fact that they are measuring out a sixth more than they originally would have measured out. And that's because they increased the vessels of the public by a sixth in size. So we say that in order for the merchant not to experience a loss, you may increase the size of the new vessels, but not by more than a sixth. Once again, originally the merchants were profiting 1/6. If you increase the new vessels by more than a sixth, the merchants are measuring out more than a sixth of merchandise and getting paid an amount where the profit was 1/6, and they're actually losing on that difference. The difference from a sixth and above when the new vessels are larger than a sixth. So what we just described is the fact that the merchants will not be profiting, but rather experiencing a loss if the new vessels are increased by more than a sixth, leaving us to think that if you increase it by 1/6, that's fine as far as the merchants are concerned. So this is also rejected by the Gemara. Pseidohu delo limte ravocha lo boi. Is our only concern that the merchants should not experience a loss, but they don't need to profit? Zovan vizovin tagro ikri. A person who buys from a producer and sells to the public at the same rate, namely without making any profit, you call that a merchant? So that this also is not a likely explanation for the allowance of increasing vessels by a sixth, because according to the scenario we described, you would be allowed to increase the new vessels by a sixth. The merchant would not be profiting anything. His profit would be eaten up. His original profit of a sixth would be eaten up in the new increased quantity that he is selling to the public unaware. Where the merchant is unaware. So that can't be the explanation either. Elo, Omar Rav Chisda, Shmuel Kro Ashkach. Shmuel, who came to his conclusion about size increases of a sixth, is based on a Gzeiras HaKosov. It's not based on logic that we suggested, but rather that which you see in the Pasuk. What is the Pasuk? So we mentioned here Kro Ashkach V'Dorash. The following Pasuk lasts about three lines. And before we learn the Pasuk, we have to remember that the term Shekel, which is the name of a coin, Shekel in the Torah is known as a Sela. A Sela is a rabbinic name for the same coin, Shekel of the Torah. And a Sela has four dinarim in it. The dinar is also known as a Zuz. There is a coin known as a Mona. A mona contains 100 zuz, or 25 dinar. We'll now read the pasuk, hopefully bearing those statistics in mind. Hashekel esrim gera. The shekel is the same as 20 gera. That expression is by way of preface, we'll say, for this pasuk. But now the statistics start. Esrim shkolim, chamisha v'esrim shkolim, asora v'chamisha shekel, hamona yelochem. If you count up the number of shekels cited in this pasuk, well, we have 20, and 25 is 45. That's 20 and 25 is 45. Then we have 10 and 5, it's another 15. So at 45 and 15, total of 60 shekel. And the pasuk says that the 60 shekel is hamona, 100 zuz. But that's very strange. The Gemara asks in wonderment, mona? 60 shekel is a mona, 100 zuz? No way. 60 shekel, a shekel is a sela, and a sela has four dinar, and a dinar is the same as a zuz, so 60 shekel would be moson ve'arboin havu. 60 shekel would be not a mona, which is 100, but rather 240. And we wrote in between the lines, 60 shekel is 240 zuz, not 100 zuz. So how does one explain this pasuk? Elo shma mino tlas. From this, we conclude 3 points. Shma mino mono shel kodesh kofel hoya. First of all, we have to conclude that when you're talking about coins of the Beis HaMikdash, the coinage that was used there was double the common coinage. So that the mona of the Beis HaMikdash was, instead of 100 zuz, really contained 200 zuz. Ushma mino moisifin al hamidos. We also see that there is the ability to increase sizes. We saw that even though the mona of Kodesh was 200, nevertheless, we saw the mona of Kodesh being described as 240. Apparently, 40 zuz were added onto the 200, so that now the mona of Kodesh was 240. The ein moisifin yoser mishtus. And when an addition is made, an addition is not to be more than a sixth. 40 of 240, 6 times 40 is 240. So the 40 that was increased, producing the new 240 number, is a sixth, and that's the amount you're entitled to increase, and not more. Ushma mino shtusa milabar. And the third point to conclude is that when you calculate a sixth, a sixth means a sixth of the new number, which really means you take your original number, divide it into five, and add one of those, creating a new number. So in the case of 200, divide 200 into five parts, that's 40. Add 40 to 200, you get 240. The added amount of 40 is one-sixth milabar. Milabar literally means from the outside or from the new increased number. Omar Ravino, Masnisin Nami Daiko. Careful reading of our Mishnah also teaches this. Dikotoni. The Mishnah mentioned that the Todah came from five Sa'ah Yushamios, which originally were six Midborios. What happened? The new Sa'ah was one and a fifth the size of the original Sa'ah. So that each Sa'ah Yushami was in effect six-fifths of the old Midbori Sa'ah, which means that they increased the old one by adding a fifth of the old one, which when adding a fifth of the old one, you produce the new one, which as we said was one and a fifth, or six-fifths of the original one. So we see that you have the original one, which we could call five-fifths. It was then you took one of those fifths and added it, creating something measuring six-fifths. That is an addition of a sixth when looking at the new quantity. Shma Mino. This is conclusive. So, as we look over the sugya we just learned, Shmuel mentioned that one is entitled to increase quantities of things by a sixth, and he learns it from this pasuk, which describes the new size of the mona of Hekdesh. The Mishnah. The Mishnah here will focus on the truma, the tithe that is taken from the lachmei todah. Remember, there are 40 loaves that constitute the lachmei todah. A fraction of the loaves is separated and given to the kohen. Mikulam hoya noitel echod me'asora truma. From each variety of the todah loaves, and we mentioned there were four varieties, each variety of the four, there were 10 loaves, so one of 10 was taken off as the truma tithe. Shenema v'hikriv mimenu echod mikol korban truma lashem. The word echod tells me shelo itol porus, that the tithe is not to be taken from a cut piece, but rather a whole loaf is to be given. Mikol korban, the pasuk used that expression, shiu kol hakorbonos shavos, shelo yitol mikorban al chavero. That means that you're supposed to take one of each variety and not to take two of one variety and none of the other. Makoin hazorek es dam hashlomim lo ye. The posuk says that this tithe, the one tenth, will go to the kohen. Vahashar nechal lebailim. The rest are consumed by the owner, the one who brings the korban. As we go on in the Gemara, we glance to the outside margin and we notice a nosei heading. We've entitled this Prote dinim hakshurim letrumas lachmei todah. Details that regard the tithe of the lachmei todah that's given to the kohen. As we scan down this source, we notice different markings. The marking that we describe here, the double underline, one of our series markings, is used for the following. Mikamo chalos hu notel hatruma. From how many original loaves does he take one loaf as truma? This, of course, we saw in the Mishnah, but the role of the Brice is to discover the sources for this information. In the Mishnah, we already mentioned he takes one of 10. But the issue that the Brisa will be dealing with is what's the source for that. So that, you can see, is double underlined in the text. We have double underlined the expression, Eini yodea mikamohi, I don't know from how many the one loaf is taken. Then the issue of ma godel hachala, what's the size of the loaf? And we'll be interested in finding out the size of the chometz loaf and the size of a matzah loaf. These also are points that we've double underlined in the source. The double underline helps you to focus on the new point under discussion. We have a number of other markings, and the role of the other markings is more or less, well, self-explanatory. You'll see a dashed underline, a diagonal dashed underline under the expression Hareini Don, which we use simply to show the balance or the repetitive nature of the source under discussion. Hareini Don means we will try to conclude or figure out, analyze. A squiggle underline, you will notice in the source when an alternative is being presented, and we've chosen to feature the expression oklach l'derech zu, which after presenting one direction, the suggestion is maybe go this other way, and that expression will be squiggle underline, showing the change in direction. Let us now turn to the source. Also, we should bear in mind that when this source is finished, it's a long source, you can see it takes you down to the lower part of the page, there will be a series of quotes, Omar Mar, which will be featured with diamonds, quotes from the source, where at which point the Gemara will analyze these different quotes, each one on its own. In order to find where the quote later on is coming from, where in the original source is coming, there will be some markers placed to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, which are self-explanatory. So, Tana Rabbanan, the source begins, V'hikriv mimenu. This pasuk we saw in the Mishnah, and V'hikriv mimenu, the word mimenu, teaches me min hamechubar, meaning that all of the loaves are supposed to be in one vessel. They should all be together. Mechubar means attached, attached or together in one vessel at the time the truma is taken, the tithe is taken. Echad, shelo yitol porus. This also we saw. And likewise, mikol korban shiukol hakorbonos shavas shelo yitol min hakorban al chavero. That you should not take two portions of tithe from one variety and none from the other, but rather one loaf is taken from each variety. Eini yodea mikamohi. I understand that one loaf is taken from each variety, but I don't know how many are in the original, how many or from how many the one is taken. So what we're trying to establish here is, I realize a tithe is taken, but the tithe is what percentage of the whole? Hareini don, nemar kan truma. The Hareini don means, well, let us analyze. It says here the word truma in the case of the lachme todo tithe. The nemar betruma smicer truma. And in the context of the tithe given by a levy to a Kohen from the miser that he receives a miser tithe, from that the levy takes off something called truma, or more accurately, trumas miser. Ma lahalon echod me'asor, just like in the case of the levy tithing his miser produce, that which he receives, he tithes from that one-tenth. Afkan, so too, by the lachme toda echod me'asorah. The one loaf really is one of ten. Oiklach l'derech zu, or maybe go in this direction. Nemar kan truma, v'nemar bibikurim truma. It says in the context of the bikurim offering, the word truma. Ma lahal anein lo shiur, just like by bikurim, which are the first fruits that a person has in his field that he brings to the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. Just like there's no quantity stated with regard to how much one has to bring as bikurim, afkan, so too with regard to the lachmei Torah tithe ein law shiur. Maybe there is, in fact, no set amount. Well, so we have two possibilities. Nireh lemi dome. Let's see which to which this is most similar. Donin truma shein achreil truma, mitruma shein achreil truma. Let us learn the todah tithe. When the tithe is removed from the breads of the lachmei todah, there is no further tithing that's expected to take place. So there is no tithe after the tithe. From another situation like that, mitruma shein achreil truma, that's true in the case of the trumas meiser. In other words, once the Levi separates his trumas meiser, he doesn't have any further separations that he has to make from what he received. So let's compare them, the truma of the lachmei todah, to trumas meiser, which would give me a tenth. The al yochiach bikurim sheyesh achreihem truma, and do not let bikurim prove our case, being that when the bikurim is given by the field owner to the kohen, after he gives the bikurim, there are other tithes that he has to take off, he has to separate. Oy klach lederach zu, or in seeking comparisons, maybe go this way. Donin truma hanecheles mokum kodesh. Let us learn the lachmei todah, which is a truma that's eaten in a holy area, from another kind of truma, which in this case is the bikurim, which is eaten in a holy area. The al tochiach trumas meiser shenechelis b'chol makom, and not allow trumas meiser to prove or decide our issue, being that it is different in that it can be eaten anywhere. Trumas meiser is the tithe the Levi gives to a kohen, and the kohen eats it wherever. Talmud lomar, mimenu trumo lashem. That you found by our pasuk by the lachmei todah. Uksiv betrumas meiser, mimenu trumo. The gzera shava, the similar expressions, allow us to make a gzera shava, a word comparison. Lomadnu l'truma shihi echad mi'maiser, echad me'asora. So we have now discovered, because of this gzera shava, that just like trumas meiser is one-tenth, the tithing from the breads of the lachmei todah, one-tenth are given to the kohen. Aval eini yodea mikamo hi chalo, but I don't know what the quantity of an individual loaf is. As we mentioned earlier, the size of loaves that will be discussed is discussed in two parts. The first discussion we will see deals with the chometz loaves. Later, the Brisa will deal with the size of the matzah loaves. So in the meantime, the Brisa says, I don't know the size of the loaf. Hareini don. So again, we see this opening expression, let us investigate. Ne'emar kan lechem, ve'ne'emar lahalon b'shtei lechem, lechem. You find by lachmei todah the word lechem, and you find by the two loaves that come on Shavuos with the kivsei atzeres, which are known as the shtei lechem, you find the word lechem. Ma lahalon isaron lechalo, just like we know by the Shavuos loaves, one isaron per loaf, afkan by the lachmei todah isaron lechala, oiklach l'derech zu, or maybe go in this direction. Nemar kan lechem, v'nemar b'lechem aponim lechem, and it says by the lechem aponim, which is a stack of 12 breads, two stacks of six, for the sake of accuracy, a total of 12 breads that sat in the heichal from Shabbos to Shabbos. And in that context, you also find the word lechem. Ma lahalon, just like over there, shnei isroinois, there were two isaron per loaf. There were larger loaves, there were two isaron per loaf. Af kan, so too by the lachmei todah loaves, shnei isroinois. So, which way to go? So, once again, nireh lemidome. Let us analyze based on similarity. Donin mincho habo chometz im hazevach. Let us learn our topic of the Lachmei Todah, which is an example of a mincha that comes together with an animal offering, from another case like that, which is true with regard to the Shtei Alechem. They are breads that come together with sheep. And don't allow lechem upon him to settle the matter, as it is different. It doesn't come with an animal offering. It's just the 12 loaves are divided out on Shabbos to the Kohanim. Oiklach lederech zu, or go in this direction. Donin mincha habo me'eretz v'chutzalaretz. Let us learn the case of the Todah, which is a meal offering that comes from grains that grow in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutzlaretz. Min hachodosh u'min hayoshan. It may be brought from old grains, it may be brought from new grains. In other words, the Todah loaves are, we'll say, flexible in what they can be brought from. And let's learn that from something else that's flexible. Mimincha bo me'aretz, meretz, mechutzlaretz, minachodosh minayoshan. That's true by the case of the lachmei, of the lechem aponim. Lechem aponim also is, there's no restriction from the origin or the nature of the grains. The al yochichu shtei alechem, don't allow shtei alechem to prove the issue of the lachmei todah size. She'ein bo'os elo min hachodosh min aretz. When it comes to shtei alechem, there's a great deal of restriction. It has to come from new grains, and from those new grains they grew in Eretz Yisrael. So once again, it's not clear to which the lachmei todah are really similar. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, we have a pasuk by the shtei alechem. It says, Mimoshvosechem toviu lechem tenufos shtayim. She'ein Talmud Lomar toviu. The word toviu is an extra word, and Rashi explains its the nature of it being extra. Uma Talmud Lomar toviu. So why does the word toviu appear by the shtei halechem? Shekol mashato mevi mimokom acher. Any other mincha that you bring that's like this, namely the shtei alechem, we know are chometz. So any other thing that you bring as chometz shall be like these. Harehu kozeh. Let's read that again. Shekol mashato mevi mimokom acher. Harehu kozeh. That whatever you bring in another case like this, that's chometz, shall be like the shtei alechem. Mal halo nisorin lechala, afkan isorin lechala. Just like by the shtei alechem, it was an isoron per loaf, so too by the todah, it shall be an isoron per loaf. However, if I'm going to make this comparison, this raises a question. Ima lahalon shnei esreinois. If, like by the Shtei Alechem, there was a total of two Isoron, Afkan Shnei Isronos, are you going to say by the Todah as well a total of two Isoron? That's not the case, though. Talmud Lomar, therefore, there's another Pasuk that says Tihiena. Later, the Gemara will find out how do you see from this word the following. Let's read this again. Talmud Lomar Tiena, Lomadnu Asora Lechometz. From Tiena we learn 10 Esronos for the Chometz. How does one see that in the word Tiena? The Gemara will deal with later. So up till now, what have we concluded? Well, at the beginning of the Brisa we said that the tithe is a tithe of 1 out of 10. We also concluded that the Chometz loaves are one isaron per loaf by virtue of a comparison to the shtei halechem, but we learn that the total amount of flour dedicated to the making of the chometz loaves is 10 isronos. Asora lematzo minayin. From where do I know that there are 10 isaron used for the making of the matzah loaves? Talmud Lomar, al chalois lechem chometz. That's the pasuk. Neged chometz hovei matzah. Corresponding to whatever you brought for chometz, you bring as matzah. Nimsu esrim esrenus lachmitoda comes out that I'm using 20 isaron of flour to produce the lachmitoda. Asoro lachometz vasoro lamatza. 10 for the chometz, 10 isaron, and 10 isaron for the matzah. Yochol asoro shivamatsu lo yukulon elo mimin echod. Could it be that the 10 isaron used for the matzah loaves will all be from one kind of baked good? Talmud Lomar, to this the Pasuk answers, Im al toido yakrivenu v'ikriv al zeva ha-toido, chalos matzos blulos b'shemen, urikike matzos mishuchim b'shemen, v'soles murbeches. You can see with the numberings that we've numbered three different kinds of loaves. Ninsu, it comes out then that I am using 10 isaron to produce three different kinds of loaves. Nimsu shloisha esreinim ushlish l'chol min umin. It comes out that I'm using 3 1/3 isaron for each kind of matzah loaf. It's also important to note that in each kind there were 10 loaves. So you can say statistically you are using 10/3 of an isaron to produce 10 loaves. 10 loaves of every given matzah variety. 10/3 for 10 loaves. So then, how much would 3 loaves be? 3 loaves would be 3/3 of an isaron. And that's what the Brisa says. V'sholosh chalos li'isaron. V'nimsu lachmei toido arboim. It would come out there was a total of 40 loaves. 10 chometz and 30 matzah. Notel echo, notel mehen arba. You take from the 40 loaves 4, the nosein lekohen, and give them to the kohen. Vashar necholim lebailim, and the rest is eaten by the owner. Omar Mar. Here the diamond features quotes from the source above, and if you notice to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text, there's a little arrow. If you scan up the page to the upper part of the page, you'll see where this quote is coming from. V'hikriv mimenu min ha-mechubar, from them being attached or together. Well, elomeyato, if that's what you learn from mimenu, dichtiv, the pasuk says, by an animal offering, v'es kol chelboy yorim mimenu, the chelev, which is the portion of the animal that's placed on the mizbeach, it says, you shall take it yorim mimenu. Now, there's a very basic assumption. It will be changed, but the assumption is that first the meat was dismembered into its various parts, and then the emurim, the chelev, the emurim, were removed. So, based on that assumption, the Gemara asks, Hosam mai mechuber ika? What kind of attachment is there if the entire animal has been dismembered, and only then you separate the emurim? Where do you have togetherness? So the Gemara answers, "Kidrav Chizom Ravimi, Demrav Chizom Ravimi, Shelo Yinateach Boser Kodem Shito Emurim." In fact, one should not dismember the meat of the sacrifice before removing the emurim. So first, you remove the emurim; everything is in effect together at that point, and then you dismember the meat into its various limbs. Omar Mar, another quote. Nemar kan truma, v'nemar betruma smaiser truma. So by virtue of a word comparison of truma, we concluded that it's 1/10. The Gemara asks, and here we have a new geometric form, the trapezoid or volcano form, is going to contain the expression v'nelaf, which are alternative suggestions to the conclusion from Trumas Meiser. And, of course, we'll then see why these are not accepted. Well, the Gemara suggests if you're learning from a word comparison of Truma, V'nelef mi Trumas Midyon. Learn from the Trumas Midyon without getting into all of the Pasuk background, or the scriptural background. Just let us note that it's a tithe of 1/500. So the Gemara answers, Donin truma hanoheges ledoros, mi truma hanoheges ledoros, we will derive something that was not a mere historical event, but something that is binding generation after generation. which is the case when you're dealing with the Lachmei Toda and the Trumas Meiser, the Al Tochiach Trumas Midyan She'eino Noheges Ledoros. And we will not let Trumas Midyan prove, which was simply a one-time in history tithe that took place at a battle that the Jewish people waged with the Midianites in the Midbar when they were leaving Mitzrayim. So in that particular battle, there was a tithing of 1/500th. But that was a one-time in history event. Therefore, it does not serve as precedent for the amount of tithing necessary from the Lachmei Toda, which is a generation after generation requirement. V'neilaf mitrumas chala. Why not learn from the tithe that people take from dough that they bake? And that tithe is accepted to be either 1/24th or 1/48th. The two Rashi here reflect both opinions. Whatever the case is, it's not 1/10th. It's either 1/24th or 1/48th. That's the amount of dough one takes off from his batter and gives to the Kohen as the what we call Hafroshes Challah. So why not learn from that? Answer, Tanu Beir Shmuel. Donin davar shenemar bo mimenu truma l'Hashem, mi davar shenemar bo mimenu trumas Hashem. The cases of trumas meiser and lachmei toda have very similar psukim. Lafuke trumas chala delo nemar bo mimenu truma l'Hashem. In the case of chala, you don't have the same level of similarity in psukim. Therefore, it's not going to be the source of amount of truma. Boy, Rava. Rava raises two questions. Trumas lachmei toda. The first question is, chayoven aleha misa v'choymesh, o ein chayoven aleha misa v'choymesh. The trumas lachmei toda was a tithe given from the 40 loaves of the lachmei toda. 10%, 4 loaves were given to the Kohen. What would happen if a non-Kohen eats those loaves that the Kohen received? If he eats it b'mezid, knowingly, would he be high of misa, death at the hands of heaven, misa b'dei shemayim? And if he eats it unwittingly, would he be high of to compensate the principal plus a fifth? That's called keren v'chomesh. Or, the Gemara continues, oy ein chayoven alein misa v'chomesh. Possibly, the lachmei toda does not generate these penalties. And now the two sides of the question are analyzed. And we label them aleph, oy dilma, the old dilma is squiggled online, indicating a transition. Base, second possibility later. So, kevon de iskesh l'trumas meiser trumas meiser domi, since we compare the lachmei toda to trumas meiser, so it will have the same halachas of Trumas Meiser. And by Trumas Meiser is considered full-fledged Truma in the sense that it does generate Miso B'dei Shemayim and a Chiyuv of Chomesh. O Dilma, Bo V'chamishiso Mi'et Rachmona. Or it could be that there is a limitation expression when it comes to these matters, and the limitation would in fact exclude the lachmei toda from these penalties. So as far as misa v'chomesh, that's one question. Does the lachmei toda tithe generate misa v'chomesh? A second question, midamas o eino midamas. Dimua is a situation of truma falling into chulin. Chulin being mundane, permissible produce. When truma falls in, we say that unless you have 100 times the chulin, the mixture becomes forbidden. You need a shiur of 100 times chulin to mevatel the truma. If you don't have that, then the mixture is called dimua. Does dimua result as well when you're dealing with the tithe from the lachmei toda? If a piece of lachmei toda falls into other baked goods, would you need 100 times the other chulin baked goods to cancel, to render void the presence of the lachmei toda? So this question, these questions remain unresolved. Teku. Omar Mar, Tiena. if you notice, we have a little squiggled arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. If you skim up the page, you'll notice where a parallel marking appears, and it appears on a line where the Brisa had said, what is the total amount of flour used for producing the chometz loaves? So the Gemara cited, the Brisa cited the Pasuk Tieno, and that teaches me 10 Isaron, as opposed to the 2 Isaron that you find by the Shnei Alechem. So the Gemara asks, well, my Talmuda, let's take a look at Rashi, the end of the Rashi commentary says, my Talmuda, hechi mashma min tieno asoro asronis. From where do you see in this word 10 Isaron? So at the top of Ayin Ches Amar Aleph, Omar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Tieno Ksiv. The word Tieno has 2 yuds in it. One of the yuds is extra and available for this teaching. So yud has a numerical value of 10. Well, if 10, it may be an arbitrary 10. 10 of what? Emo asora kapizi. Maybe 10 chatzikavim. Kapizi is a measure, a half a kav. Omar Rava, be'isroinois diber hakosov. We don't have to seek out alternative quantities because the pasuk itself deals with the quantity of isoron. Rashi cites this at the second line from the top. He says, from that which the parsha is talking, the tiana will add. It mentions esronim in that pasuk, indicating that that's the measure that we are dealing with, and 10 that's learned from the yud will be 10 of those, 10 esroinus. What we see here in a frame is in effect a quote from the Brisa on Omid Aleph, and we have this double star and an indicator here saying Ayin Zaymabez. It means if you look back there, you will see where this comes from. Lomadnu Asora Lachometz. Well, from Tiena we learned 10 Isaron for Chometz, for the Chometz loaves. Asora Lamatzuminai, from where do I know 10 Isaron for the matzah loaves? Tamalomar Al Chalois Lechem Chometz. That is the pasuk keneged chometz hovei matzah, corresponding to the amount you used for the chometz, use for the matzah. At this point, the Gemara raises a serious question about how can this exposition take place? When you're in the realm of sacrifices of kutchim, there are restrictions in how you can go about deriving information. One of the rules says that a dover halomei behekish eino choser umalamei behekish. That means if I have a point of information, we'll call it point B. B that was derived from point A. So there's an original piece of information, point A, at through the hekish method of learning. Hekish means where two ideas are cited in the same pasuk, whereby we say that one is compared to the other. So something, if let's say B is derived from A through the hekish method, how can you use the derived B information to derive C through another hekish? Once again, something that was derived through a hekish cannot turn around and teach something else through the hekish method. Before going on, let us glance at the outside margin under our nosei heading. Eich nitan lumoid shiur hamatzah shel lachmei toido me'achometz. How can you learn the quantity for the matzah from the quantity of the chometz, me'achar she'achometz nilmad behekish l'shtei halechem, when, after all, the chometz was learned through a hekish to the shtei halechem? Avedavar halomei behekish, ve'eno chozer malamei behekish. The chometz being itself derived information, the chometz loaves, the ten isaron for the chometz loaves was derived from the shtei alechem. How can then the chometz loaves turn around and teach me concerning the matzah loaves to conclude 10 isaron? as we said before, that violates the rules of Davar Lo Amid Behekish, Eino Chozer Man Behekish. Now, let us read this in the Gemara. V'chi Davar Halo Amid Behekish Chozer Man Amid Behekish. Can it be that the Chometz, which was learned through Hekish to the Shtei Halechem, turn around and teach me concerning the Matzah through the Hekish method? The Gemara answers that the issue concerning the chometz loaves of the Lachmei Todah was not pure Hekish. Rather, Heimenu V'Dover Acher Hu. It's partially learned from Hekish, but the other information is not from Hekish, but is from itself. V'chol Heimenu V'Dover Acher Lo Havei Hekish. And since the nature of the information concerning the chometz loaves was not pure Hekish, and we'll explain how, in what sense, it's not pure Hekish, it therefore is able to turn around and teach me concerning the matzah loaves. We have a little note on the inside margin at the bottom, which corresponds to what Rashi says. If we look at the note, we notice that chometz equals 10 isronos. That we know. That was what we concluded. Eser chalos ksiv bei. The fact that there are 10 loaves, that is not derived from the shtei halechem. That's information that's of a local origin, namely local to the lachmei todah. Ha dechol chalo is bei isaro nilmad mishtei halechem. Only the fact that an individual loaf has an isaron quantity of flour, that is learned from the Shtei Alechem. So the size of an individual loaf is learned from the Shtei Alechem. However, the total amount used for the chometz loaves, that's not derived from the Shtei Alechem. I need inherent information or local information to teach me that, namely the fact that there are 10 chometz loaves. I then conclude that there's a total of 10 isaron. So now the chometz information of 10 isaronis, as we said, is not pure Hekish. Therefore, it's able to teach me concerning the matzah. Well, the Gemara asks another question. Ha nicho lemando omar lo avi Hekish. This is fine according to the opinion that says that heimenu v'dover acher is not considered or categorized as Hekish. Elulamando Mahave Hekish, Michael Lamaymar, but according to the opinion that says that Heimenu V'Dover Acher is categorized as Hekish, then the question is revived. Namely, how can the Chometz information teach me concerning the Matzah information to conclude that they're Ten Yisaron by the Matzah as well? The Gemara answers, Taviu Ribui hi. The word toviu appeared in the context of the shtei alechem. However, that word is an extra word. Therefore, it's viewed as if isaron per chala by the chometz is not really by the shtei halechem, but rather it's as if it's written in the context of the chometz itself. So that even though, technically speaking, the word toviu appears by the shtei halechem, you have to, in your mind's eye, transpose the word toviu from shtei halechem and say, listen, it's not part of shtei halechem at all. The toviu is part of the chometz loaves of the Lachmei Todah. Therefore, the information of one isaron per loaf is really written in our mind's eye in the context of chometz of the shteya of the Lachmei Todah. Being that it's in the chometz of the Lachmei Todah, there's no problem of learning from the chometz to the matzah. There is no issue of an original Hekish anymore. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.